This podcast is brought to you by Liquidware. Liquidware is the leader in adaptive workspace management solutions for Windows desktops. Their products cover all facets of management to ensure the ultimate user experience across all workspaces, physical, virtual, DAS, or cloud.
At the third stroke, it will be...
Hello and welcome to EUC Digest, your weekly audio snack on everything EUC related. In today's show, we'll be talking about everything EUC at VMworld 2020. But before we dive into all the VMworld related details, please allow us to introduce ourselves. My name is Johan van Amersfoort and I'm your host for today, for this episode. And with me is Kees Baggerman. Hi Kees, how are you, man?
Well, as you might have noticed in the first two sentences, my voice is a little bit different than normally. I won't start singing, as that's not my forte. But otherwise, I'm doing fine. It's not the best weather outside, but you know, given the situation in the world, I'm just happy that I can talk to you and our special guest of today. So I'm really looking forward to this episode.
Awesome. Well, I do too. You know, what did you find out about our guest?
Well, it's funny you bring that up because this guest has some interesting facts. To be honest, he's probably the most Dutch person ever, since he has a windmill in his backyard. He's a true sneakerhead, and according to his Twitter timeline, he loves a Dutch dating show that tries to find a suitable partner for farmers. For the Dutchies under us, it's Boer Zoekt Vrouw. He's seriously passionate about sailing in the Caribbean. And I think his ideal workspace involves a steering wheel, a boom, and a mainsail.
Okay, so guys, if you don't know who our guest is, please, guest, can you introduce yourself?
Good morning, guys. My name is Huib Dijkstra. I'm an EUC specialist at VMware. And I'm right now just super curious, what was that dating stuff? What was that?
Our research department took a look at your Twitter profile, and they especially dove into your tweets from the last 12 years.
Whoa.
And they found out there were a lot of tweets about Boer Zoekt Vrouw.
And
we as a team assumed that you really, really, really liked that dating show.
Oh wow! It's my wife who likes the show.
Did she hijack your Twitter account then?
That could possibly be the case. I used to hate the fact that we had that program on Sunday night because it was colliding with Top Gear.
Well,
honestly, Owen, this is just a pure poor excuse from Hype. I think he digs the show.
Yeah, I think so too.
He's just straight to
diehard fan.
Yeah, again, like you mentioned, Case, he's the most Dutch person ever. So both the windmill in his backyard as well as his passion for Boer Zoekt Vrouw is, I think
it's all true. It's all true.
Yeah, it's all true, right? So, Huib, thanks so much for being on our show today. Could you explain to our listeners who you are, what you do, and for what people can recognize you?
Yeah, so I'm Huib. I work at VMware in the Netherlands, where I'm a pre-sales engineer. So I'm on a daily basis. I'm in front of customers. I'm leaning towards more of an architect role. So it's long-term engagements where we do, we basically check what the customer needs, what he wants to achieve, maybe some objectives they want to hit or some impediments they want to get rid of, and then try to figure out if VMware can offer a solution. That's what I do on a daily basis.
I guess that's not an if, but more of a how VMware can offer a solution given the immense product portfolio you guys are carrying right now.
Yeah, that's the cool thing, right, about VMware, that they've got such a huge EUC portfolio that there's lots to choose from.
Exactly. So, Huib, we're going to talk about VMworld in this episode. Like many events, this was fully online this year. And before we dive into the announcements and the details of that, can you explain a little bit about how you experienced VMworld this year?
Yes, so I think the fact that it was online was a benefit, I'm not saying that I want to have it online every year because I also miss the people and the parties and all the and everything else. But it is nice that you can like schedule your agenda and do some stuff on demand. I also like the fact that they had live streams. So there were some sessions where you basically had to clear your agenda and get the popcorn and the beer ready and sit at a certain time behind your monitor. So yeah, I quite like the fact that it was an online event.
I think it helps when you add in a little bit of interactiveness in the sessions, right? I mean, given the immense amount of offerings that we get from online sessions, and they're all, well, most of them are pre-recorded. So, you know, to me personally, I would select sessions like that where you have that interaction, where you actually have to schedule out some time in your agenda. Is that something that that you know you missed in comparison to the real life events, the actual drive to go to one of these sessions versus just clicking around and see what's available?
Yeah. I think it was a nice mix of on-demand sessions and the live stream and the fact that there was a lot of new stuff. So we all three are like EUC regulars. We're familiar in the space. So a lot of stuff we hear in online meetings or online events, we've probably already heard somewhere. And I think VMware does a nice job of keeping everything a secret and then announcing it all within 1 week at VMworld. So if it's new stuff, it kind of already automatically draws my attention in. So it was all in all a nice week. And actually, I'm still watching sessions from VMworld, to be honest, and still catching up on stuff.
Hey, Hab, I heard a rumor that it's true that from an announcement perspective that even for people like yourselves who are a VMware employee, have access to the people in the business unit, most of the things that were announced were also a surprise, right?
Yeah, probably around 70%. So of course we can have a look on the roadmap internally. But that's all NDA, and there's no timeline attached to it. So a new red button could come in next month, or it could be 2 years. So generally, I glance over it once or twice a year, and that's it. But with like the stuff that really gets announced, that's almost here. It's all kept a secret. So even we as VMware employees in the field, we don't know anything until VMworld happens. And that's a nice thing, I guess. It's also a little bit stressful because of all the interviews and all the marketing stuff I want to do around VMworld. I have to do my research like at night between appointments. So it's not a lot of you don't get a lot of sleep during VMworld.
Well, there's 24 hours in a day, and then the night starts. So you know you always have that.
Yeah.
So did you do the full VMworld experience with event food and having a drink once or twice?
We did it all. I carried a backpack around the house for the whole week. only wore comfortable sneakers. Didn't get much sleep. Too much alcohol. The whole shebang.
I actually saw a tweet from somebody posting a photograph of his lunch, saying that lunch was finally served right this year.
Nice.
And he was eating sushi or something with the hashtag VMworld. So I thought that was really funny.
We actually had a spicy we call them toasties. So what's that, like toasted sandwiches with the ham and cheese, but instead of the ham they were like there was a spicy minced meat in it, and we call them in Dutch vlam toasties. Those were really, really awesome. I would say one of the best lunches I had at a conference, maybe like ever.
I'm not sure I agree, but they were something special.
Cool, Hype. Let's dive a bit into the announcements. There was a lot of news, and can you tell us a bit about the news from VMworld, and especially what were your favorite announcements and why?
Yeah, shall we do some cherry picking? Is that the idea?
It's your show, so
Oh, nice. So let's start with Horizon. Horizon is our basically in data center EUC solution. I say in data center, we're multi-cloud nowadays, so it's not always your data center. And I think around cloud, couple of updates there. We're going to run Horizon on Azure VMware solution. So that's a VMware data center on Azure. So we're going to support Horizon on that. So that's the same code base you have in your own data center. Same thing is going to happen for Google Cloud as well. And then also new is the fact that you can get hardware from Dell and then basically put it under your cloud environment. So everything is managed out of the cloud by Dell and VMware. And you can host desktops in your own data center. That was also quite a nice feature. And then for me, the biggest thing in Horizon was the new smart provisioning for instant clones. Did you guys catch that at all? Or
yes, but please explain, dude.
So we already, of course, already had instant clone provisioning. That's why you would have a replica on your storage, and you would have a parent on the host, and you could fork off that parent new VMs for end users. With the new smart provisioning, we're adding a second technique to that. It's a technique where you don't have the parent VM. So because the parent VM sits on your host just as a overhead. So you can imagine if you, for example, deploy a RDSH pool onto a cluster, and you assign, let's say, 50 gigabytes of RAM to that host. On every host, you have a parent VM consuming that 50 gigs of RAM that isn't being used by end users. So without the parent VM, we can fit more RDSH hosts on a single cluster. Still, for large deployments and for like more for the VDI use case, previous instant cloning technique would probably be better, as it is a little bit faster. But it's a fully automated process. So VMware is going to choose which technique is best for your deployment. You can override that, of course, but it's by default, it's fully automated. I thought it was a really nice new feature, and it was totally new for me as well. So that's a cool update.
And
I'll second that. Sorry, Jan. We've been testing with that new technology stack in our own labs, and the way that it dynamically decides to create a parent VM or not is pretty cool. And I had some I talked to Andrew Morgan, who works for mm-hmm. the VMware EUC CTO, and he explained kind of the inner workings of that, and it's pretty slick, I have to admit.
Yeah, and another really, really cool feature of that is that the clone now is portable, so you can even vMotion it to other hosts because there's no direct link between the clone and the replica anymore, because the replica
exactly.
doesn't really exist.
So security is becoming a number one priority in end user computing. What did you see around the VMware strategy around that topic, and how did that influence the EUC announcements in during VMworld?
Wow, we could probably fill this hour just talking about security. But yeah, like sticking with Horizon, Horizon and security, we now offer a combination of Horizon and Carbon Black, immediately available for persistent desktops. But one of the coolest things was we also announced that we're going to do Carbon Black on non-persistent desktops. And as you both know, like antivirus and anti-threat, is always an issue when you're looking at performance of in data center VMs. So just having those two solutions combined and optimizing performance for VDI, I think that's a really, really cool announcement. So that's something I'm really looking forward to.
And it's not like from a security perspective and Carbon Black perspective, it's not just Horizon, right, where it ties in.
No, it was already tied into Workspace ONE. So and a couple of coolest features there was that the risk analysis is now available in your intelligence unit. So basically, we assign a risk level to every device, and you can build automations and build policies off of that risk score. So that's it was already tied in, that was last year, into Workspace ONE, but it's coming to the horizon side of the house now as well. So that's a cool thing.
So, is there anything else around Horizon that you would like to highlight, or is this a nice segue to dive into Workspace ONE?
Well, these were some of the cherries. I do want to maybe switch gears towards Blast a little bit before we dive into Workspace ONE. There was a whole bunch of news there. News like that we're now offering 444 support and 8K. We also announced 10-bit support. I work a lot in healthcare. I know that something like radiology departments are really looking forward to. So we're now supporting monitors in a higher graphics range. It's already in tech preview, I heard. So that's pretty good. And I think if you look at my inbox, I think 30% of all my emails say something around Microsoft Teams. So I was really happy that VMware launched the offloading support for Microsoft Teams and Zoom and Cisco WebEx. And there were some really cool features there. And the funny thing was that we're not only now like moving away from real-time audio video, that's going to be continually, we're going to continue to develop that. So for if you're using a tool which is less known or doesn't have a optimization pack for Horizon, we're still going to offer real-time audio video. And on that part, we're now using H.264 and H.265 for better rendering of your real-time audio video. That's also for content redirection. So if you do browser content redirection towards the endpoint, that's also going to support those codecs. And the funny update was we're going to support a Raspberry 4 for real-time audio video. So if you're looking for a cheap thin client kind of solution, we're going to offer real-time audio video support on that as well. So those were just, I think, some of the cool updates around Blast.
That's pretty slick. On the Raspberry Pi piece, would that require specific software on the Raspberry Pi? I know that there are some equivalents on the market for competing products, but they all need a specific build for the Raspberry Pi. I'm assuming it would be similar for VMware to do the actual offloading. There needs to be a specific piece of software on the endpoint, and I'm assuming that you're working together with vendors to make sure that there's an offering for those Raspberry Pis.
Right now, I only have the details that we need the agent on the device. Like other requirements, I don't have that at this moment. But we'll have to wait and see how that all works out. Maybe we'll just build something in our labs. That would be the coolest thing, I guess.
I fully agree. And I really like the enhancements of what you're just explaining around Blast. I think especially in current time and day where everybody's doing Zoom and WebEx and other solutions on a daily basis, maybe even on an hourly basis. I think it's very timed release to get that offloading ready.
Yeah. And there was a really cool session at VMworld. It was a technical deep dive into Blast by Kieran Rao. So if you got time, go back and look at it because it explains a bunch more updates to our Blast protocol, a bunch more like deep technical changes in the protocol. But altogether have a huge effect on performance. So it was a really cool session. It's one of the ones I enjoyed most.
Yeah, we'll share the session detail in the show notes.
Cool.
So Workspace ONE is a suite of products, right?
Yeah.
An online suite of products. And it's big. So I took a look. Obviously, I'm a VMware enthusiast. Myself
fanboy.
As well, a fanboy, yeah, and yeah,
a junkie, wasn't it? I still have the hat somewhere. Cool story, yeah. By the way. I got that from the Liquid CEO.
Well, Liquidware is one of our sponsors of the podcast, which is totally separate from this story. But yes, we from the release of my book, the VDI Design Guide, a couple of years ago. Liquidware did a really cool campaign, and one of the things they did was they created custom snapback hats, and I still wear it on a weekly basis or so, and Huip does too, so
It does say something about our relationship that I have to get it from the CEO of Liquidware instead of you.
There's a lot of love here.
All I got was the t-shirt that said it's a year of VDI. So
yeah.
At least you got that.
And you got the lousy t-shirt, right?
I actually wear it with pride, especially around these times where it seems like end-user computing is finally, you know, people are finally getting up to the concept of end-user computing and what it can do for businesses in terms of BCDR and whatnot. So, it's a sad situation, but it's good that companies start to realize the full potential of the technology stack that we have out there. But, you know, circling back, Workspace ONE, hype.
Yeah. So my thoughts were, let's start off a little bit generic or stuff that we do cross-platform and then dive into updates around Windows, Mac, and Google stuff. So on the platform side, we have a client called the Workspace ONE Hub. It closely refers to my name. But there were a couple of announcements on that part. So now in Tech Preview, we're going to do step-up authentication, like from the Zero Trust model. We're going to do step-up authentication or multi-factor authentication, however you want to call it. We're going to do that inside of the Hub application. And the added benefit of doing that inside of the Hub is that the Hub already had biometric security APIs and possibilities. So right now, when you're getting a step-up authentication, you can do a thumbprint or a face recognition before granting access to a user to open up an application. I thought that was one of the coolest things coming in Tech Preview announced at VMworld. And there were two extra additional announcements on that same part, is that for that authentication process, we're also going to do hardware security keys. So like a USB or Lightning stuff you put onto your phone, or like with beacons and such stuff. So that's near field technology. I thought that was a really cool announcement as well. And we're going to support FIDO2 and additional web authentication methods as well. So again, a lot of security stuff on the side of the Hub. And probably my favorite was the day zero onboarding. Don't know if you guys saw that, but was already announced last year. Yes, of course. It was already announced last year. And to be honest, I wasn't really expecting it to be like GA on VMworld. It's been only 12 months. It's a big part, new part of Workspace ONE. But VMware got it done and it's live. And it basically allows you to onboard new employees onto your platform. And that sounds easy enough. And we've been doing that for years, but it usually started at day one, right? You got a laptop and you open it up and you were missing like 12 kinds of authentication types, or you were still missing software and all that kind of stuff. That story now starts when the user accepts the new job. So he then self onboards with his own account and password onto the Workspace ONE Hub. He can already see his first applications, for example, from HR, and can put in some personal contact details kind of stuff. He can already access intranet, that kind of thing. So I think it's one of the coolest new features to Workspace ONE.
And I can imagine that now with all sorts of new ways of people being needed in organizations and scaling up. Like in the Netherlands, we have something we call Teststraat for Corona, which it basically is a drive-in location where you can test for COVID-19. But those have to scale up like immensely and scale down when those people aren't required for those jobs anymore. So I can imagine that, especially for people that need to or businesses where scaling up and down is required, or seasonal work, that this is really, really, really awesome and important.
Yeah, and you're tying two topics together, which I love. So you're tying the scaling out topic to the how does the story start before the onboarding, right? Because if you scale out, let's say, for example, the student loan, that's always around December, right? That there's a lot of a spike into added new students, etc. So organizations that support student loans suddenly need to onboard a whole bunch of personnel, which they're probably going to use for 2 months, seasonal workers, and then they're off again. So how do you prepare those people for their task, right? It shouldn't start at day one because then you lose a lot of productivity. So with the day zero onboarding, you can really increase productivity before the actual first workday starts. Super cool feature. We're going to talk about that probably a lot more.
Cool. Next to the day zero onboarding, what's some other news you got from VMworld?
A whole bunch of security updates. I'm just going to do a quick mention. We're going to do continuous evaluation on the tunnel. So that's announced. We're going to do logon risk assessments. We briefly touched on that earlier in this conversation. We're going to make vulnerability management, which is now only for Windows. We're going to go do that cross-platform. That was also announced. Digital employee experience when tech preview, just a whole bunch of stuff. But the thing I loved most was actually the new admin experience. So we've redone the admin experience for creating configuration profiles. That was already cool. That's now data driven. But really the coolest wow factor was the freestyle orchestrator, where you basically have a canvas where you can build runbooks, automations, can group settings and taskings together. I thought it was one of the coolest things ever. It's kind of hard to describe on a podcast. You really need to go see it. But it was one of the coolest things. And that was announced. So that's not already available, but that was announced.
And what will be the main goal for the freestyle orchestrator? Because I definitely agree to you. It looks really awesome. The canvas the way you can create workflows, and it looks, if anyone is familiar with vRealize automation, it has a similar way of creating those workflows or blueprints, yep, if you will. So what's the main goal of that solution, Hype?
I think twofold. I think it's really a added value for the out-of-the-box experience. Whether you're doing factory provisioning or whether you're doing something like Autopilot or something like Apple Business Manager, doesn't really matter. As soon as that laptop first opens up, we used to have like a at-random configuration would drop in, right? So the smallest pieces of software would go first, probably. And then the largest piece of software, you would have to wait some time for those to come in. You can now tune the exact behavior of that very first run. So you can say, I want to start with that. I want to start with this tool because they're going to need that first. Then I want to go do this, and then I want to go do that. So I think that's the first real scenario where you're going to use this. The second one is if you have a specific time frame in which you want something to happen in an orderly fashion. So, for example, next Tuesday, I want to have a piece of software that we're only going to use for 1 day. I want to have it installed. Then I want to add a license. Then I want to send out a template for all the settings, et cetera, et cetera. So if you really have a time frame in which you want to have specific stuff happen in a specific order, that's the second scenario where you're going to use the freestyle orchestrator. And you're probably also going to use it just for fun because it looks awesome.
I think that that last feature you just described is going to be an eye-opener for a lot of people. When you started talking about that, the freestyle orchestrator, you said you have to take a look yourself. How, for our listeners, how can they kind of have a look for themselves? Is the software really available? Is there an online demo? Can they contact you to do a demo? What's the what would be the most logical process to actually see and get a grasp of what it can do?
I think people can, of course, always contact me, but we did upload a really cool demo onto our YouTube channel. So VMware Engines Computing has a YouTube channel, which on a daily basis uploads feature updates, does interviews, customer references, But we also upload demos. So this demo was uploaded to the YouTube channel. Also, the day zero onboarding stuff I talked about earlier, that demo was also uploaded to the YouTube channel. So you can go ahead and go there to check them out.
Okay. Well, again, share the link in our show notes. Okay. Cool, Hype. You know, what about the endpoint side of things? Because Workspace ONE UEM is a solution to manage those endpoints, and the Freestyle Orchestrator will probably help in managing them as well. So, what about the endpoint side of things? What kind of announcements were there?
Yeah, let's start with one of the biggest. I think Linux support for Workspace ONE. Did you see that?
Yes.
It's something I've been really looking forward to, but it just completes that any story, right, that we've been talking about for 10 or 15 years in this industry. It just completes that, right? So you now have everything under one management console. So it's already in beta, so that's also cool. With this added feature, you can bring your Linux devices under management. You can enroll them. You can do asset management. You can do configuration profiles. There's Puppet integration, so you can, like same as with Mac, you can use Puppet commands inside of your packages and your payloads, and the client will recognize it. And it's agnostic, so multiple Linux distributions will be supported. So I thought it was one of the coolest things on VMworld, the Linux support under Workspace ONE.
Cool, man. I think that this will Case always tells me that thin clients are boring, but I guess this feature will make them less boring.
Yeah, thin clients are really interesting for procurement, right? That's the positive yeah. version of it. It will make things really interesting. And actually, it reminds me, I forgot one of the Horizon updates. But which is also really cool. I just wrote it under the wrong list on my notes. So Horizon is going to support Linux as published apps. So basically RDSH kind of solution. So you could now combine like a Linux thin client on the management of Workspace ONE connecting to a published Linux application. So that's a whole new story. So I thought that was a really cool update as well.
Well, that's going to open up a lot of opportunities in oil and gas and that kind of specific vertical, because they're big on Linux. So that gives you a whole lot of additional opportunity. And just to put a little bit of nuance in Johan's statement about thin clients being boring, it is true that I always say that thin clients are boring, but that's more of the hardware platform than the software. So for me, thin clients are all alike, right? They all have the same kind of hardware configuration. One might have a little bit stronger CPU than the other. One might have a GPU on board or not. I think that the biggest trick in thin clients is going to be managing them and the software on top of it. So if you can offer more flexibility and management at the same time, then obviously you've got a strong position and a good proposition to offer to customers.
Yeah, I think that's that's probably one of the reasons why most of the thin client vendors are decoupling hardware from software and strongly focus on software and the management of those devices instead of focusing on device design and devices themselves.
Yeah. So we were both invited to the Inside Track on Monday of VMworld, and you saw Igel make a lot of announcements around that area, right? Decoupling the software from the hardware. You can now, I think, even buy the Igel OS separately from the thin client. So that whole market space is moving into that direction.
Which was one of the cooler announcements at the Inside Track event as well, because you can now manage Igel-based thin clients with Workspace ONE.
Yeah, and you could even do reconfigures. That was kind of cool, because that's always one of the things. Well, in your project, you go and think, oh yeah, we're gonna have to reconfigure the thin clients. Ah, no biggie. But then when the day comes, it's a lot of work going through your whole organization, reconfiguring all your thin clients. especially when you don't have the software side of the infrastructure in place. So it was a big announcement. Yeah, yeah, cool. So let's go to Windows. Let's switch to Windows. One of the things which came available during VMworld was the new hub experience for Workspace ONE on Windows. So that's the client for Workspace ONE on Windows. Historically, we used to have two clients. That was only on Windows. So Android and Mac and all the other platforms just had one client. But historically, throughout AirWatch, a client was developed, which was called Workspace ONE, so the Workspace ONE client. And then later the hub was added to Windows as well. We're now going to the one client for Windows model, same as on all the other platforms. So that means we're now also supporting bring your own for the hub experience on Windows. And I thought it just was just a really important and nice announcement. Also, like on the out-of-the-box experience, which we talked about earlier, Lenovo and HP got added to the factory provisioning program. I do get a lot of customer questions about this somehow, because people want to know what's the difference, right, between autopilot or like over-the-air management and factory provisioning. While I think the factory provisioning is a really good benefit for your out-of-the-box experience. If you manage a device over internet and you open up the device on somebody's home Wi-Fi connection and you're pushing 120 gigabytes of configuration towards that device, no matter how good your internet connection is, it's going to take some time for everything to come in and everything to launch and execute. And with vendors like Dell and HP and Lenovo offering factory services, they build their laptop, they slipstream the Workspace ONE agent onto the device. The device gets booted in the factory and it sits idle for a while. And it basically already gathers and executes all the configuration you've attached to that device. So when the end user opens up the laptop, the configuration is already there and they can start immediately working on the device. I think that's a really cool program. And like I said, both HP and Lenovo were added to that program this year.
Cool, man. Is there anything else from an announcement perspective that you would like to highlight?
Yeah, maybe a cool bridge towards the Apple side of the house. So we've got a solution. It does have two different names, but the solution is kind of alike. We have Workstation on Windows and Fusion on Mac. So we now both offer both versions free for personal use. So the player side of the house is free for personal use, so you can run your VMs on your endpoint. So that was new. You can now run Kubernetes according to Open Container Initiative on your workstation, which was also kind of nice. And then the biggest announcement was on Fusion. Of course, we're going to support Big Sur, but we also now support advanced virtual graphics, so Metal on Apple. Which just basically means that you can run way more advanced graphics inside of Fusion. I thought it was really something really, really cool on the Apple side of the house.
Nice, man.
Yeah, and just talking about Apple, there was a whole bunch of Apple news. Let's see. So we've updated the out-of-the-box experience again. So we've got updated the information. We now tie into the Apple system setup. So When you're really reconfiguring a Mac, during the setup, you're already getting Workspace ONE messages across your screen. So that was totally new. Same as with Windows, we've redone all the UI for the admin experience in Workspace ONE. So that was kind of neat. And one of the biggest things is we brought auto advanced setup towards the Mac. So you may remember this, Johan. I think we discussed this at a customer once, where you could have an Apple TV and then put a network cable inside in it and a power towards it. And then you could basically automate all the onboarding steps for that device. So ideal for help desk or admins to basically image a 20 or 50 Apple TVs all at once.
Oh, dude, I need to have that at home as well.
Yeah. And there's some really cool features to use at home. So that's a perfect lab setup right there. We announced that it's already available in your user acceptance test environments, that you now can do auto advanced setup for your Mac as well. So if you're moving away a little bit from the whole bring your own experience and you really want to have business Macs, you can now even enroll them outside of Apple Business Manager just by putting in a network cable and a power cord towards it. I thought that was really, really cool, cool update. Same as with Windows, Freestyle Orchestrator is coming to Mac, so Mac admins can have that same cool experience. We're doing now Mac OS updates from the console, which wasn't something we did in the past, so that's a really cool cool update, just a whole bunch of Mac updates, basically. Also a couple of updates around iOS and iPad OS. Around iOS, you can now prevent the deletion of applications even when it's a bring your own device. So that's kind of neat. If you really want to have an application on the devices of your end users. And we're going to do native check-in, check-out for iPads. So shared iPads. So VMware already offered a solution where you could have an iPad in a shared mode, where you could use that with a bunch of people. We can even do a Kerberos authentication and that kind of stuff on there. But now Apple has gone and put it into the OS. It's already here. And we can now also support the native style of Apple shared iPads. So that's also kind of neat.
Wow, man. That's like an immense list of all new of new features. But I guess this is just like the tip of the iceberg. If people want to like have a full overview of what announcements were made, where should he or she take a look?
So we've got a blog which sits on TechZone. TechZone is all informational VMware. So it's a huge platform where you can watch videos, where you can read blog articles, KB articles, everything related to VMware products you can read on TechZone. They could go there. And I think I need to check this, but I think you can still register for the VMworld event and access the on-demand catalog. So you can go ahead and watch the sessions we've discussed. So cool. I think are the best options.
That's a great segue to my next question, because the sessions are now available on demand, right, or online.
Yeah.
If anyone wanted to check some sessions, what will be your top three of sessions that they should check out?
First, Horizon: What You Need to Know by Christina De Nijck. That was a great session. Second one was Apple at Work by Naveen Pichandi, which I really liked. And let me pick a third. The Blast Session by Kirin Rao. I already mentioned it, but it was a really good technical deep dive.
Cool. And we'll leave the links to the sessions in the show notes. What about the, there was a session from a guy, and I think he presented like the, what was it called? Like the VDI Nerdfest demo?
Oh yeah, I missed that one.
Shameless plugs. Shameless plugs.
Basically, it was a cool story. You know what that guy did? He was so bad at Mario Kart that he built an AI solution to play it for him. That's. I need to have that for FIFA, because for FIFA 2020, my little brother always kicks my ass. So I need to have that for FIFA.
Oh, dude, that sounds like a plan for next year's Nerdfest demo.
All right, I'll bring my little brother.
Cool. Okay. Well, I hope, you know, before we wrap up, is there anything you want to add or come back to, or maybe you want to emphasize?
We kind of skipped the Android updates. I'm more on the Apple side of the house. I'm more of a Mac fan. Last final updates. We're also going to do native check-in, check-out for Android. That's coming in Android 11. Of course, there's going to be day zero support for Android 11 in our platform. We're going to support all the new profile changes coming to Android 11. And the biggest thing was, we're going to help admins of that final Android admin step towards Android Enterprise, right? Android admin is going away. This is the final version. So by version 11, you're no longer able to use Android admin commands, Android admin stuff. And we're helping admins to migrate. So there are migrate scripts and templates within Workspace ONE to help admins get off Android Admin. That's
Thank you. Thanks. So if our followers want to know more of you or want to follow you, where can they find you?
On LinkedIn and Twitter, both under my own name, so at Huib Dijkstra.
Cool, man. Thanks. Well, to the audience, thank you so much for listening to Huib. Thank you so much for being our guest. And in case, thank you so much of being today's co-host. We all hope you enjoyed this snack as we try to serve you the right amount of EUC for your appetite. If you have anything to add here or just want to stay in touch, reach out to us on the social channels or by email on podcast@eucdigest.com. For now, cheers, love, and lots of gin tonics.
This podcast is brought to you by Liquidware. Liquidware is the leader in adaptive workspace management solutions for Windows desktops. Their products cover all facets of management to ensure the ultimate user experience across all workspaces, physical, virtual, DAS, or cloud.